2 Corinthians chapter 1, and I don't really know what Beverly's going to say, but I feel like I'll know her a little better when she gets through, as I'm sure you will. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows." Then he says this, he says, "If we are distressed, it's for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort." But I was just thinking, it can be a comfort to know you're not the only person in pain. So when somebody else shares their pain, it should help, it should comfort you. So Paul says, even if we're distressed, it can be a comfort to you. You need to know you're not the only one suffering hardship. So I thought about that as Beverly comes. Beverly, why don't you come on up, and I'll just pray for you as you open your heart to us. And thank you for wanting to do this and being willing. Beverly will tell you in her story, I guess, but she's no stranger to ministry. She and her late husband, David, were ministers in the Assemblies of God, pastored here in Starkville and other states as well. So she's been playing the secretary role and behind the scenes role, but she's got a good word in her, and I want you just to receive her. And I'm going to pray for her as she comes, okay? Lord, thank you for your servant, for people that want to give and want to share, that want to testify to the goodness of the grace of God. I pray that Beverly would be able to find great freedom to just tell her story this morning, and in so doing, honor the Lord who has sustained her and who has become her great comforter and friend. Bless her as she opens her heart to us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Bill and Debbie, thank you for everything you have done for my family and me. And thank you for this opportunity to speak today. There's two things I want you to know right at the beginning. Number one is I am 99% sure I'm going to cry at some point. But if you can just bear with me, I will continue. I'm 100% sure I will finish, okay? And if you just, you know, silence sometimes is kind of hard to deal with. It's kind of hard to do. But if you'll just wait with me until I compose myself, then we will move on. I'm no Priscilla Shire. I'm no Joyce Meyer. One day when I was walking down the stairs to go to church one Sunday morning, David says, "Oh, you're dressed like Joyce today." And I walked right back upstairs and changed. You know, I love Joyce. I love Priscilla Shire and all these ladies and the men who are fulfilling their calling. They've ministered to me so much. But I have discovered that I can only do me. I can only do me. And that's what God wants of all of us. He made us all different. I can be myself. So that's what I am today. It's my desire that when this sharing time is over, that you know a little more about me and where I've been, but mostly that you know a whole lot about what God has done, what God has brought me through, His power, you know, and how He showed up. I want to encourage you. In December, God spoke to me and said, "Go to New Covenant Church." It wasn't too difficult because you guys are great, you know. So I started coming here. And then, almost immediately, I began to feel the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, just strong in my life. And in a few minutes, you will understand how it was before December, when God started moving so powerfully in me, with the Holy Spirit just being so close to me. And then in January, God said, start preparing your testimony. Write it down. Well, y'all, that was difficult. That was difficult. And I texted some of my peeps. Y'all see my peeps? Here's my peeps right here. I love you guys so much. Back on the back row, you don't know what you mean to me. So I texted them and I said, y'all got to pray for me because this is hard to do, to relive and go back and you know, go over the bad times, you know. But they prayed and I got through that. I did what God said and I began to feel more and more of the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, if you haven't experienced that, that's what you want. You want to know the Spirit of God. You want Him to walk beside you. And I would just weep. I mean, every day I was just weeping, feeling the Holy Spirit so close to me. And then in February, God said, go talk to Bill about sharing your testimony. And I said, God, you sure? Because after all, don't I actually need to be able to speak if I'm going to talk to a crowd and share my testimony? And instead of crying, God didn't say anything. I waited. Didn't say anything. And I said, yes, Lord. And when I said, yes, Lord, more and more of the Holy Spirit just came upon me. God is so awesome. I believe that obedience releases the Holy Spirit to move in our lives. I believe obedience releases the Holy Spirit to be upon you and be with you. It releases the Holy Spirit to infiltrate your life and to move in your life. I'm going to begin to share what happened in my life and then break off and encourage you in some areas. In December 2013, David had heart surgery to repair a heart valve. That surgery was successful, and he was healing wonderfully. But a few months later, things began to change, and I knew something was wrong. Went back to the doctors. The doctor said, no, everything's good, everything's good. But I knew something was wrong. And one day, when we had two ministers visiting our house, visiting us, David crashed. Now, at this time, I knew something was wrong, but I was so glad that we were going to find out what it was and we were going to get the victory over it. That was my heart. I had 100% faith that God would heal David and we would come through this victorious. Now, you got to understand, this is not the first time that healing was in our situation. We taught on healing. We stood on healing. We believed healing. We challenged people in our small groups, you know, who is it in your midst that has the gift of faith and the gift of healing? And why isn't that incorporated? Why isn't that happening? I want you just for a minute to picture the horrible stripes that God Almighty allowed on His Son's back. Now, when Jesus died on the cross for our sins, His death was for our sins. Those stripes were for our healing. That's what the Bible says. Now, if you have a son, think about yourself. Would you, you know, how would you feel if you stood and watched that horrible beating? Would God allow that for nothing? No. So, on the way back and forth to the hospital, he was in the hospital in intensive care for 3 months. And on the way back and forth, I would sing this song because the enemy was telling me all kinds of things that were not God's truth. The voice of truth, you've heard it, I'm sure. The voice of truth says there's a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. The voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. During those 3 months, we had multiple tests done, multiple cardio restarts. Do you know what that is? You know what that is? It's when they stop your heart and then start it back because it's out of rhythm. Many of those times, I was there all by myself waiting. Y'all, that's hard. That's difficult. One time, a nurse and a respiratory therapist pushed David, was pushing him to breathe on his own, breathe, breathe, breathe. And they said, try, try. And he said, I am trying. And then he turned gray and his head turned over and he passed out. They actually put a chair outside the ICU door for me. I didn't spaz when things happened, but they knew I needed a place to sit. That was a horrific 3 months. Many people came by and prayed with us. Some of you did. I remember you guys coming and praying. And some of you came for the service. For a long time, a nurse told me that everybody who was in David's room was healed and recovered. And that it was a place of peace. And that's because of all the prayers that went forth while people came in and prayed with us. Now, a few years before this, I went through a trying time, and I just started writing scriptures down. I had a little spiral-bound notebook, and I started writing scriptures down. That's when I fell in love with Isaiah. I had a lot of scriptures from Isaiah, and I called it my shaky journal. And because I used it at times when I was needing help, I was in trouble. It was my shaky journal. I don't know how many times David told me in the hospital, he said, read to me from your shaky journal. And I did. But one time I crashed. I was very weary. I would only go home for a shower and to change clothes. And I maybe spent 4 or 5 nights at home when the kids were in town and they stayed with their dad. God had abandoned me. I wept gut-wrenching tears and said, God, where are you? I'm being real, y'all. I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me. I'm collecting all your tears in a bottle. But I was in no condition to receive that. And instead, I said, what the heck does that mean? I don't need tears in a bottle. I need you to move on our behalf, God. I need healing. I need a breakthrough. I was not a good Christian then. Psalm 56 and 8 says, you keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. But as I said, I was in no condition to receive that from God. That very afternoon, Pastor Ron came to visit. Now, he had taken care of his wife, who had Huntington's disease, for 24 years. And what verse do you think he gave me that day? He said, honey, look at me. Look into my eyes. Because when he started talking to me about it, I turned away. He said, look into my eyes. Then he began to explain what that verse meant to me. Now, I want you to understand that God knows every detail of your life. He loves you. His love is beyond measure. And although knowing what this verse means meant a lot to me, what meant the most was that God showed me how much He loved me by sending someone to explain to me a verse that God had spoken to me that morning. And I said, I don't understand that. He said, those tears are for your next season. He said, they are the water for your next harvest, and you won't have to struggle so hard to see fruit from your next harvest. They're the water for your next harvest. I don't understand. I don't know why. There's a lot of I don't knows. I don't know why Dana, a physical therapist who attended our church, God spoke to her one morning to take her anointing oil to work. She did. And then at noon, God spoke to her and said, go over to David's room and anoint him and pray over his diaphragm. Now, I had already asked the doctor. I said, check his diaphragm. And the doctor said, no, his diaphragm is fine. But she went over that day and she anointed him with oil and she prayed for his diaphragm. I don't know why God led her to do that. And then when we moved back to Starkville, the doctor, that's one of the first tests he did, and he found that David's diaphragm was not working at all. He was only breathing with the help of the breathing machine. I mean, that can mess with your brain a little. That can mess with your belief in God and with your trust in God. But I don't have to know why. I don't have to know why. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 29, there are some things that the Lord our God has kept secret. And we don't have to know why. We just trust Him. The 1st of November in 2014, he was released from the hospital with a diagnosis of ALS. It was atypical ALS. I became a nurse doing things I never dreamed of or thought possible, but God gave me the strength and helped me. During that time, we did not have an income at all. There was no income. But you know, God never let us down. There was never a time that we didn't pay a bill, never a time that, you know, it was on time. The bills were paid on time. But God had taught us years earlier to be liberal givers. And so I want to talk to you just a little about that. He also taught us that He is our source, not ourselves and not our jobs. You know, He is our source and He will take care of us. David was let go from a job a few years earlier because of downsizing. A lot of people were let go. And he said, when the severance pay came in, he says, Beverly, let's go to the church today. He didn't even want to wait till Sunday to pay the tithes on the severance pay. And when we got there, one of the pastors just started encouraging us, and he said, I know you guys are givers, and he says, I want you to know that the scripture that says, cast your bread upon the water, and many days it will come back to you. You know, he quoted that verse to us, and there again, that was a scripture that I had always had trouble with. Anybody else have trouble with that scripture? I mean, who wants soggy bread? You know, I don't like soggy bread. But he explained it to us. And he said that the people were wanderers. And when they were getting ready to move on, they would toss their wheat, the seeds, into the river. And the river would carry those seeds down. And then by the time they got there, you know, to live there, to make their camp there and stay there for a while, the wheat would already be growing. So I thought that makes a lot more sense than soggy bread. But if you will give God, you cannot outgive God. Even last year, I felt prompted to give a certain amount at church, and I said, "You sure, God?" And He didn't answer me. And so I gave, and that week I received unexpectedly 7 times the amount that I gave. You cannot outgive God. The body of Christ ministered to us. There were different small groups that came, groups that we had either led or just been a part of, and part of the Sunday school, you know, we call it Sunday school classes that we had taught and been a part of. They would come after church on Sundays, and they would have praise songs. They would read the scriptures. They would pray with us, and it was church because we even had an offering. They brought us an offering. They brought us money, and I'm not talking about just a little bit. God supplied our needs through them. Meals were brought on a regular basis. And in December, in 17-degree temperature, one of the small groups that we had some interaction with came to our house and stood on our front porch because they didn't want to come in because they didn't want, if they were carrying a germ or something, you know, they didn't want it to affect David. And they stood out on our porch in December and sang Christmas carols to us in 17-degree weather. That's the church. That's the church in action. I did go in and get them some hot cocoa and some apple cider because I knew they were freezing. But we could not go to church, but the church came to us. And having said that, I want to just encourage you, don't isolate yourself from the body of Christ. You need the body of Christ. You need Christian friends who love you and who will speak truth in your life when you can't see the truth, and encourage you when you think all is lost. You need them. And it's not going to come easy. The enemy's going to fight that because he wants to isolate you. He knows if he can, then you're an easy target. You have to be proactive. It's not going to just happen. You know, just like you get your little date book out and you know certain things are important, you know, you've got to do that with your fellowship of other Christians too. You've got to write it down and don't let any, because God created us to walk in community. Okay, we have to have each other. I know you've seen on TV before where a lion or a tiger or several of them are trying to get food. They're hungry, they're starving, and they look for who? What do they look for? The isolated one, the one that's all by itself, or the young one, or someone who's sick, the one that's sick, you know. That's what they target. But I saw something one time where a baby elephant had been born, just born, and the lions were all around, had the elephants just surrounded. And the mama elephant and the baby elephant were standing there, and the other elephants made a circle around them. They were not going to let the lions get that baby elephant. That's the way it is. It's a cruel world out there. The enemy does not like you. He will do whatever he can to defeat you. But if you've got people who will care for you, I got a text last night encouraging me, and I got four texts this morning encouraging me from my peeps. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing. If you really knew where I was, if you knew where I was, even though I've been saved all my life, experienced God in miraculous ways all my life, but if you knew where I was and how much I needed it, you would be amazed. I want to encourage you to share your story. It may not be here like this, but people need to know. And as Bill said earlier, that's been on my mind so much. But why is it that we're much happier if we know someone else is going through struggles too? You know, there's just something about that. I don't know. I don't think we're happy about their struggle, but it's good to know we are not the only ones. And the enemy will tell you that. He will tell you you're the only one experiencing this. But as you give your story, as you testify, as you share with someone over coffee or whatever, be comfortable with honesty. Be transparent. And be comfortable with making a mistake. You know, we're not perfect. And you know, many more people will identify with someone who is not perfect, a real person, than they will with someone who is perfect or thinks that they're perfect. Don't be afraid to share. People need to hear your story. I don't know why I watched my wonderful husband suffer every single day. I saw his body dwindling, wasting away. I saw him helpless, not able to do a thing for himself. And if you remember David, some of you knew David, if you remember him, you will understand that. It was difficult for him, very difficult for him. And he hated the toll that it was taking on me. I was the only one who saw some of those struggles. I was the only one who saw his ribs protruding from his body. No one else saw what I saw, and no one else felt what I felt, because we were truly one. It's just impossible for me to put that into words. It's impossible. I've given you the negative, and I want to take just a minute to share a little about marriage. Enjoy each other. Enjoy each other. God created us to enjoy our spouses. Let the little things go. Oh my goodness, let the little things go. Don't ever stop learning. Go to marriage conferences when you can. Get a book. Now, I know you guys don't like conferences, you men, and books, but I'm telling you, I can tell you one that you will like, and it's Love and Respect. It doesn't just deal with love your wife. It deals with respect. Men want respect just like women want love. So I'll just throw that in for extra. Get with other people. Pray and study with other couples. Our last 15 years or so, we were abundantly happy. We had learned to let the little things go. Now, big things you got to deal with, but, you know, God helps you with that. We traveled a lot. We traveled to the Smokies and to the beach. We hiked and canoed every week. We laughed a lot. Y'all, couples, you need to laugh. Rent a funny video if you need to. You know, you need to laugh. You need to live. God wants us to, you know, he wants us to be obedient to him, but that doesn't mean he don't want us to enjoy life and be happy. We ministered to other people, and what a joy that was. When you're able to help someone and you see the lights turn on, and then you see them go and tell their friends and tell their coworkers, and then that spreads, and you know that you've made a difference in someone's life, it's just amazing. As I said, I was watching my sweetheart die, seeing things that were horrific, feeling things that were hard to describe, and I was abandoned by my father. I was spent. Well, the next day, a group of people came from our church. The men gathered around David and prayed, and the ladies put a chair in the middle of the living room, and they surrounded me and began to pray. They prayed, then God spoke to me through one lady. And this is what God said. My daughter, I am here. As the footprints in the sand, you know the story, the footprints in the sand, you will look back and see one day how I carried you. And then the tone changed, and I had never experienced this before. And God said, know this. I see what you see, and I feel what you feel. And then God said, you will have joy again. And you will get the pep back in your step. Teresa said to me Sunday, last Sunday, I was on my way to my car. She rolls down her window. And she says to me, girl, you got a spring in your step. Praise God, praise God. And I am. There's been a change in me. Things have shifted. Not something I could do. I have tried. Ask Kay. I wanted to be well. You know, I was going to give myself a little time to grieve, you know, a few months. And I wanted to be well. I wanted to be back doing what I have been doing for God. And it's been almost 5 years. And I'm not saying God wasn't with me during that time. He was, and periodically I really felt him move. But things are different now. There's a shift. God is bringing me out. But God allowed that lady to throw me a lifeline, to throw a lifeline to a drowning me. What if she said no? What if God is asking you just to, and you know, it can be so simple. Text somebody or just tell somebody their hair looks nice. I'm telling you, it can be so simple. But if the Holy Spirit is leading you to do it and you do it, it is monumental. It is monumental. What if she had not allowed God to speak that to me? In May of 2015, we moved back to Starkville. We had many more struggles, and we had false hopes. For a while, David was given a medication, and it was improving. But it didn't continue. God continued to supply our needs. He sent people with meals and encouragement, and you guys were a big part of that, and I thank you. In August of that year, both of us were very tired, and our doctor, wonderful Christian doctor, if you want to know his name, I'll tell you later, come to me. Wonderful Christian doctor here told us he would do anything he could to help us. During one of the three times that the alarm went off each night for David's meds and breathing treatments, David told me God had spoken to him. And I said, what? What did God say? And he said, I'm not going to tell you till in the morning. My first thought was, oh, Lord, he's going to die during the night and I won't know what God said. I mean, I wanted to know what God said. But he didn't die, and the next morning he told me that God said to him, you don't understand what I'm doing. You don't understand what's going on, but one day you will, and you will be surprised. That's scripture, by the way. That is scripture. That day, David asked me to call the doctor. He said, today is the day either God will heal me or I will return to base. And returning to base is a military term, because he knew he was a soldier. He was a soldier in God's army. The doctor came, a wonderful doctor, a wonderful minister was there. All three of our kids and two of our kids by marriage, our daughter-in-law and our son-in-law. We all knew what was going to happen if God didn't heal David. But the guys, being my guys, started joking and carrying on and laughing. And we were just, they were laughing, and just it was a good atmosphere. Now that's hard to understand, but it was. A little bit later, I asked David if he wanted to hear some music. After all, he was a musician, and we actually met on stage. He says, yes, I want some music. And I said, do you want the contemporary? Because that's what we had started listening to, was the contemporary music. And he said, no, just praise and worship. Jonathan got that going, and we all sang and worshiped together. When David could no longer sing, he mouthed the words. And then he went to heaven. The presence of God was so great in that room. Y'all, remember, I've been raised in this. I've been in the presence of God many times, but I don't think I've ever felt his presence as strong as in that room at that time. God blessed us. God blessed us with a wonderful homegoing. I don't know why my son Daniel went to heaven 12 weeks after that. The enemy has really, really tried my mind with that. He came back to Jesus. He was the happiest he had ever been. Happiest he had ever been. He was studying for the ministry. He was filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He had such a testimony. He would reach so many people. He had been in the depths. He'd been in prison. He was delivered now. He had such a testimony. I don't know why. But he told me, he said, Mom, between the time that his dad went to heaven, and he did 12 weeks later, he told me, he said, Mom, he said, I'm getting my teeth fixed. His lifestyle had ruined his teeth. He said, I'm getting my teeth fixed. He said, before I didn't have anything to smile about. He said, now I can't stop. I can't stop smiling. And then one time he told me, he said, Mom, now that I've been filled with the Holy Spirit, I understand what you and Dad have been trying to teach me all these years. It took the Holy Spirit to reveal that to him. He was our prodigal, but he came back home. Now, I have a prodigal list. I have a prayer list. If you have someone you want to put on that, please see me after the service, and I will put their name down. I'm praying for a cousin who has been in and out of prison. I don't know how many times. He's been in and out of rehab. I don't know how many times. And he's in there right now, and I'm not sure he's going to get out for a long, long time. But my aunt is a believer. She is believing him to be delivered, and I will not stop praying. I will not stop praying for your loved one. I know how it is. You've seen on TV all these shows where they talk through the glass. I've done that. I've talked through the glass. I've held the phone and talked through the glass. I have had my son say to me, "Mom, I need to bail out. I don't need to be here. I don't need to be here." When God told me, and his dad, "You do not bail him out." I said, "God, how can I look at my son and show him the love of God and say, no, I'm not going to bail you?" You see what I'm saying? I'm his mother. You know, you see what I'm saying? God worked it out. I didn't even have to. He worked it out. The papers were supposed to be here that day. They did not come that day. We had to go back to Birmingham. A couple weeks later, Daniel says, "I don't want to be bailed out." I didn't have to say no to my son. God worked it out. I'm telling you, God is good and he loves us so much. Don't listen to the enemy, guys. The enemy is here to discredit God. He wants to discredit. He can't touch God, okay? He can't touch God, but he can touch God's children. Don't let him do that. He wants to discredit God. He wants you to believe his lies. Combat the enemy by knowing God's word. Know who you are in Christ. I want to read you a few things here. This is scripture. Put your name in here. I am helped by God. I am completely forgiven. I am tenderly loved by God. I am a temple in which God dwells. I am joint heirs with Christ, sharing with his inheritance. I am united to the Lord, one spirit with him. I am a member of Christ's body. I am chosen by God, holy and dearly loved. I am one of God's living stones being built up in Christ as a spiritual house. I may approach God with boldness, freedom, and confidence. I have been made complete in Christ. Now see, the enemy will tell you, "You'll never make it. You'll never measure up." No, I've been made complete in Christ. My needs are met. I have been adopted as God's child. I have direct access to God through the Holy Spirit. I am assured that all things are working together for good. I cannot be separated from the love of God. I am confident that the good work that God has begun in me will be perfected. I am a personal witness of Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And by the way, I've got some of those that my sweet friend helped me make that you're welcome to. It's what God's word says about you. And I'll just leave them up here. Resist the enemy. Speak God's word out loud. The word that proves that he's lying, you know? Find God's word that proves that what he just told you is a lie and speak it out loud. Now, don't you lie in the process. I've seen people say that who were horribly sick. "How are you doing?" "Oh, I'm good. I'm blessed, God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed." No, don't lie about it in the process. And that sometimes is a little bit difficult because the enemy told me, "God allowed your husband to be taken from you just when life was so good. You were helping so many people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera." I mean, is that a lie or is that the truth? That's the truth. The devil sometimes tells the truth. But I counteracted that by saying, you're right, but I am so grateful for the time that God gave me, for the time that God gave us together, for what we saw accomplished. I'm so grateful. He said to me about my son, God allowed your son to be taken in the prime of life just when he was about to influence so many people. And I said, true, but I am so grateful that he got back to God. Y'all, that's the important thing. And I would say that to the enemy every time he says that to me. But I am so grateful. You did not win. You did not win. He came back to God. He was living in joy, such joy. Oh, my goodness. But you know what? He just transferred from that joy to the ultimate joy, you know? I'm not sharing. I want you to know I'm not sharing for sympathy, but I do desire your prayers. Like I said, God is changing me. I feel something now that I have not felt in a long time. My word for last year was hope. So I studied hope and, you know, got books, got devotionals on hope and all, you know. But you know what my word for this year is? Bloom. Bloom. And that's what I believe. I believe it's time for me to bloom. And I feel a change. It's just, God is changing me. But I am still walking this out. Sometimes it hits you. You know, you who experience the grief, you know. Sometimes it hits you and you just, you know, it's unreal. But I believe God is, I know God is moving in me. And I appreciate that. And I thank you for your help. In closing, I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to comfort you. You know, allow. There was an incident happened. A child died. I was taking care of some children. And the baby died in my home. And, oh, I don't know. It just hit me. You can go ahead and get ready, Philip. It just hit me. And I was just like a zombie. And God spoke to me just in my spirit and said 5 words, daughter, let me hold you. Because see, at that point, I wasn't. I was just, you know, he said, let me hold you. The Holy Spirit wants to comfort. The Holy Spirit wants to be our leader and our guide. And he will enable us to be obedient. You don't have to be afraid. If God tugs on your heart and says, you know, go talk to so-and-so or whatever it is. You don't have to be afraid. And you don't have to worry if you mess up, y'all. So many people won't move because they're afraid they'll mess up. Or did I hear God? Was that God? You know, I don't know. No. Go ahead and do it. You're not going to hurt anything even if it wasn't God. Because you're encouraging that person. And you can, and you will learn how to hear God's voice. Now, if you're having trouble with that and you're female, you can join us in our next Bible study because we're going to be learning about how to hear God's voice. But you guys need it too. So you can watch the videos when we're finished, okay? Get with somebody and learn how to hear God's voice. The Holy Spirit will help you to be used of God. God impressed me for us to do this course, and this is something we did here years and years and years ago when I was here, when we were here. But if this is your prayer, you listen to the words, and if it's your prayer, I want you to stand and sing it with us, okay?
Sanctuary, pure and holy.
Questions, I'm open. I'm available to you anytime. God bless you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true.
But in closing, I want to pray for Beverly. I like her word for the year, bloom. And I do believe, I'm in company, of course, with people my age who are really wanting to be useful to God in this season of life. And I feel like God has really seasoned her to be useful. And I don't know the validity of this, but when I was swept into the revival in the 70s, and Dean and I were reliving our story with some younger people this morning, it's because we were very hungry. But I sense that the next renewal may come because people are just in pain. They're just in pain, and they need to know somebody that's walked through pain. I just want to pray for Bev, and then I'm going to let her pray for Emily. We can be dismissed, but thanks for sharing, Bev. It's a wonderful story, and she only told you the second half. There's a whole nother first half that she could share as well. But let's just pray for her and bless her this morning. Father, just want to thank you for somebody willing to tell their story. Perhaps today is just practice. That there's many that just simply need to hear, and now she knows she can tell it. She's told it with family. I pray now you just grow her sphere as she blooms this year. As she has come into a fresh hope, you're unlocking her heart and her voice. Just pray that great grace would fall upon her. Pray you'd bring people to her that need to know how to work through pain and grief, and to do it with a confidence and an assurance of Jesus Christ being there constantly. So make her, Lord, a vessel tried and true, pure and holy. A vessel through which you can move and pour your divine grace to others in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for David, for the life he lived, for the joy he brought, for the contribution he made right here in this church, and for Daniel. We bless them in their eternal state and pray that their legacy would live through their mother and wife. In Jesus' name, amen.